Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello, Browns Nation. How is everybody feeling on this Thursday afternoon? You're looking good. You're getting ready to go. Whether the frame of mind you have to get in is one that gets you a little bit surly and a little bit nasty, that's okay. That's okay. We're here to fortify that as we get rolling right up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we know what is at hand. The second go-round in 5 weeks against that dreaded black and gold, those Stillers, as they call themselves, over there at Pittsburgh. I'm Michael Regei. Matt Wilhelm is here. Nathan Zagura will be joining the show coming up in a little bit. And Matthew, we've got a lot to get to today. Our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day that we'll lay out. We got our Browns Roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill and all of the tremendous hospitality restaurants. Tom Withers and Doug Deacon will be a part of that. There's fantasy football tweets that you could get involved in. I would imagine that Nathan will be front and center with that when he gets back. And, of course, we've got to play Fact or Fiction as we get 72 hours away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, Matt, as we know, just the name itself and just thinking about Ben Roethlisberger, the young man from Findlay, Ohio, in the northwest part of the Buckeye State, played his college football, of course, with the Miami Redhawks. And how different might it have been if back in 2004, when the Cleveland Browns turned in their card with the sixth overall pick, had that been Ben Roethlisberger, and the Browns, of course, that year took Kellen Winslow?
Well, I think first and foremost, a lot of Browns fans might think that 18-1 might be flip-flopped, you know, in our favor. But, Reg, it's great to be here today. I think, again, I am pumped up. It's Steeler week. It's rivalry week. And for you and I have both played ball. You developed that hatred for those other guys. And just to give you inside input on the perspective of a player, you don't so much hate those guys because you could be employed by them next year. Just because of free agency.
That's a good way to put it.
It's the truth. But I'll tell you what, it's you develop a passion for how these fans feel about that rivalry. And you appreciate those fans showing up in force, which they will this weekend at First Energy. Again, I said it yesterday, there is no marketing that you have to do for anything at First Energy Stadium this weekend, because those fans will be out in force. They will be tailgating. They will be ready. And I truly believe it's because we feel like we let one get away in week one.
Yeah.
We played our worst half of football and came out and almost won that game. And I think what we've seen offensively from Brian Hoyer and the offensive side of the football will continue to give us the optimism to stay in a lot of games because we can score, which we have struggled to do in years past.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, a football team that's putting up 26 points a game, and yeah, you've got that feeling that this offense can go get it when they need and have to go get it, as we've seen so far in you know, 2-2 record, but even in the two football games that wound up being lost, you know, there was a lot of offensive point production in the fourth quarter of both of them. But, Matt, you just said that, I mean, and again, neither one of us are really the numbers guys, but the numbers you just laid out, it truly is mind-boggling that this quarterback in that black and gold, Ben Roethlisberger, this will be the 20th time when he comes in here on Sunday that he's played against the Cleveland Browns, and he's only walked off the football field one time with the L in his pocket.
That's insane. And I know, and again, that L was when the Steelers were reeling. They were a bad football. And yeah. I think at that point, Eric Mangini had this football team, you know, closing the season very well.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say to me? It's time for a change. I really do feel the same way that we feel the energy in this building each and every day because of what Ray Farmer, Jimmy Haslam, and Mike Pettine have brought here. there is a change going on within this building. And I think that this weekend, this victory, Cleveland Browns victory over this opponent, will solidify that change.
It certainly is going to go a long way in adding, I think, maybe another pillar, another big block to this foundation. I think we all could agree on that. There's no question about it. You just laid it out. I mean, anytime you got your hated rivals showing up, and with the direction that the Browns are going right now, to add this to it.
It might even be two blocks, Reg.
It might be two blocks.
Might be two blocks. Okay.
All right.
We'll one is a win, and one is a Steelers win. So there's two big cinder blocks. There you go.
Wilhelm's thinking large here. I like that, definitely. All right, let's get into our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the Day. And before we do that, I want you to know, as always, that you can give us a holler if you like. We've got place, time, and space for you at 216-578-0850. You could tweet at the show at Browns_daily, at Browns_daily, at Michael Regei, at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Nathan Zagura. So you got a lot of ways you could do that. And we'll get into that. You know, we always, after we kind of lay out the menu for you, we always reserve the second segment with an opportunity to hear what's on your mind as you get into things. But here's some of the things, Matt. Let's get all of our Browns Nation thinking about some specified topic here. Starting with, in this, trying to find a way to get a win against Pittsburgh, what's the matchup that the Browns have to win to be able to come out on the right side, the win side of this game on Sunday? Is there one matchup or an area, a unit of the two football teams that's going to be imperative for the Browns to win that battle, be it individual or group?
I am not going to deviate what we all thought would have to happen last week against the Tennessee Titans, and that starts up front defensively. I don't necessarily think it's going to be we have to be able to run the football. We know we can run the football, and we'll run the football against the Steelers defense just like we did in the second half. So I'm going to flip to the other side of the ball. I'm going to go with our defensive front, which is missing, you know, one of their starters in Phil Taylor, who had arthroscopic knee surgery and will miss a few weeks, maybe even a month.
Uh-huh.
But I think that defensive front and our ability to limit Le'Veon Bell, and again, as we talked last week, to force Ben Roethlisberger to have to put the ball in the air 50-plus times, or 40-plus times.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? That means I like the odds of Jabal Sheard and Paul Kruger and Dansby on some blitzes and Whitner coming off the edge. And our, I won't say inexperienced, but the mix-up that's going to happen on the defensive end, you know, they're going to get some looks as we closed the show yesterday. We're going to hopefully give them some different looks and not just line up in man, because we've got to protect some rookie corners, whether it be Justin Gilbert or K'Wan Williams. So there's some disguising. I want to see that game being played defensively, and it all starts with stopping the run.
You just somewhat touched on where I'm going to go, because I'm with you about the front seven. And, you know, you got to get, LaDavion Bell and LeGarrette Blount under control. But because of the situation with the way the Browns secondary has kind of been on this huge roller coaster through the first four football games, and a lot of it, I think, where you just don't believe that as a group they're playing with the confidence and that, you know, kind of that vim, vigor, that swagger, if you want to, that I want to see them play with. And because also Antonio Brown scares me to death, Matt Wilhelm. I think this guy is a fabulous wide receiver. I think that, I saw him a lot play at Central Michigan, called a lot of his games there. For Butch Jones, who's now the coach at Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Terrific head coach and really, really very creative and innovative. They got him the football every way imaginable. So I knew about him. Then you always wonder, you know, a third-round guy. But what I think he is one of the elite wide receivers in the National Football League. He always seems to play well against the Browns. Now, there's no Mike Wallace anymore. It's Marcus Wheaton, who had a strong performance in week one. And then, you know, look, Heath Miller. Heath Miller is a very strong NFL pass-catching tight end. So, secondary, I mean, let's go. I think you're going to be under the gun again. We've alluded to it, maybe without Joe Hayden. Justin Gilbert, you're going to be up. You got to perform and perform like at least people want to believe you're the eighth overall selection in the first round. We've said it going into bye week. Kaywan Williams, it could be Nelson, it could be Poyer, it could be Bottomosi. All these guys got to be ready to go and get reps. So I want to see the secondary notch their game up, Matt.
That's right, Reg. And just to expound on the play of Justin Gilbert, we've heard Coach Mike Pettine time and time again say it's the inconsistencies in Justin Gilbert's play that is keeping him off the field and giving opportunities to other guys. And for us as fans and analysts, we may sometimes, because of the allure of the big play, meaning the pick six, you know, the bat down balls, those types of things, we might expect those things out of Justin Gilbert. But again, all I want is in the NFL, and you can play a very long time in the NFL by being consistent. Coaches don't want to see a series of peaks and valleys. They want that plateau. Once they get you to where they feel you're ready, they want that plateau and then a spike. And you'll have one click fall, but more straight across the line.
Sure.
And that consistency, meaning when I throw Justin Gilbert out there and we throw this full playbook at him of coverages and blitzes and so on and so forth, I just want him to be the same guy first down, third down, the next series, the series after that. And that up and down is why Justin Gilbert is struggling in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. As I said, as I've studied him too, I believe it's more about technique and fundamental and struggling there, which is going to affect your confidence. But I'm not going to back off on what I said in the preseason. I believe this kid has the just innate skills to be an excellent corner in this league. Now, he's gotten off to a very, very slow start, as we know. He's not shown that. But I still want to believe it's not because, look, he's physically gifted. It's not because he just flat out doesn't get it or can't play. But there's going to have to be a lot of cleanup, a lot of development, and a lot of coach him up. And let's hope that some of that, you know, is started to do. I would hope start to take shape, although he only got the 9 snaps the other day against Tennessee.
That's right. And you know what? I want to make another point, and it was made earlier this morning by, I believe it was Hanford Dixon on the Really Big Show, talking about the defensive back play. And he pointed out Justin Gilbert, and he made a point actually about the entire defensive backfield kind of struggling. And he talked about using that he said the new rules are being used in an excuse by Joe and by Justin about why they're not playing so well, they're still adjusting. But he made a great point about you have that 5 yards where you can, you know, make contact. And that's the one thing that I feel when you go back and watch the film, and in my head, you know, I'm seeing plays and plays.
Right.
We're not taking advantage of that 5 yard buffer. You know, we're kind of opening the gate, allowing some very skilled wide receivers that free run off the line, you know, and what you're doing is you're overestimating, you know, your ability and underestimating theirs.
Okay.
And we see time and time again we're getting beat. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's a coaching point that we're making this week, is be a little physical, throw off that timing. Because, again, if I'm Brian Hoyer and I'm looking over to, you know, Hawkins and I see him getting bumped the line of scrimmage, I'm coming off of him and I'm going somewhere else.
Yes.
That would be something I'd love to see against Antonio Brown this week.
I like it. Yeah, we'll see if that comes into play, because, you know, something is going to have to change or be a little bit different, because, we're always frank here. I mean, you can't pull punches and make off like things aren't. Antonio Brown has lit this Browns defensive football team up the last few years, and you got to find a way to take care of that. All right, so before we get to break, our Ohio Business Machine hot topic of the day, that's one. What's the matchup that the Browns have to win to be able to beat Pittsburgh on Sunday? And I like this one too. We're the Browns defense. If you want, we're trying to put this thing together as Jim O'Neill might. Who's the one player that you have to slow down? Is it Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, or Antonio Brown? For me, I'll be real quick about this. 18-1. Enough said. If you don't get the head of that snake. And that's a big snake, too.
That's a cobra.
That's a cobra with everything foaming, coming out, the fangs coming out. If you don't get the head of that snake taken care of, it's going to be another long, long afternoon.
You're right. And it's so hard to pick between these three, Reg. And it's like I would go against myself if I went with anything but Le'Veon Bell after saying that the run, you know, defensive front having to do their job.
Sure,
I'm going to go. If you're picking Big Ben, I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell, because I feel like – Le'Veon Bell and that play action pass sets up Big Ben the opportunity to throw the ball, football down the field.
Yeah. All right. That's where you jump in. Okay. I know all of you are lined up already. We love that. Yeah. Way to bring it strong as the Browns get set to go against the Pittsburgh Steelers again on Sunday. So those of you that are on the phone lines, as we laid out our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day, stay with it. We're coming right to you on the other side when we get back. Matt Wilhelms here. I'm Michael Regai. Nathan Zagura will be joining a little bit later. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. Pittsburgh's coming to town. You know what that means. We're driven by Liberty Ford. Just getting started. Don't move.